Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, Later Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We'll begin with text 92. Preme te vivala bhaya nahika smarana Radha deshe tina dina karela brahmana. While proceeding towards Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna, and he lost all remembrance of the external world. In this way he traveled continuously for 3 days in Radha desh, the country where the Ganges River does not flow. Also here it doesn't flow. Nityananda Prabhu Mahaprabhu Bulaya Ganga Tire Lana Aila Jamuna Baliya. First of all, Lord Nityananda bewildered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by bringing him along the banks of the Ganges, saying that it was the river Jamuna. Text number 94. Shantipure Acharyera Grihe Agamana Prathama Diksha Kaila Tahan Ratre Sankirtana Shantipure Acharyera Grihe Agamana Pratama Bhiksha Kaila Tahun Ratre Sankirtana. Shantipure Acharyera Grihe Agamana. Pratama Bhiksha Kaila Tahun Ratre Sankirtana. Shantipure, in the city of Shantipur. Acharyera, Avadvaitacharya, Grihe, to the home. Agamana, coming. Pratama, first. Bhiksha, accepting alms. Kaila, did. Tahan, there. Ratre, at night. Sankirtana, performance of congregational chanting. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After 3 days, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Advaitacharya at Shantipur and accepted alms there. This was the first acceptance of alms. At night he performed congregational chanting there. Purport. It appears that in his transcendental ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot to eat for 3 continuous days. He was then misled by Nityananda Prabhu, who said that the river Ganges was the Jamuna. Because the Lord was in the ecstasy of going to Vrindavan, he was gladdened to see the Jamuna, although actually the river was the Ganges. And that's why the Lord was brought to the house of Advaita Prabhu at Shantipur after 3 days, and he accepted food there. As long as the Lord remained there, he saw his mother Sachi Devi, and every night executed congregational chanting with all the devotees. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Purustai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Sitarane. Here we find Lord Chaitanya exhibiting the symptoms of advanced Krishna consciousness. That is, as it is said, how does it go again? That the six Goswamis, they gave up their rich, opulent material positions and they went to Vrindavan where they lived like ordinary mendicants begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched for the pastimes of Lord Krishna that they enjoy transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Srimati Radharani, enjoying the transcendental separation from Krishna. So those who are in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they should also relish the transcendental separation from Krishna, discuss his transcendental pastimes, his quality, his activities, one should be elevated to the highest transcendental position, remaining constantly engaged in devotional service while remaining constantly remembering Krishna's pastimes, while remaining engaged in devotional service is the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. So here, Lord Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, he's showing us the same transcendental consciousness, and that if one is on that transcendental platform, factually he has no real connection with this material world. Not something to be imitated. How does that in the Six Goswami song, where it says the third verse, before Sankhya Purva? Tyatva turnama sheshamandala pati Shrenim sadatu chava Putvadina gunesha ko karunaya Kopi nakanta shito Kopi bhavara samrita dilahari Kolola magna moho Pande rupa sanatana ragu yago Shri jiva gopala go. The six Goswamis, they specifically gave us literature so that we can understand the transcendental position of Lord Chaitanya, and following his footsteps and the footsteps of his followers, we can gradually come to this position. That this position of becoming transcendental to material existence is actually our goal of life. Prema Pumarata Mahan. Lord Chaitanya specifically demonstrated this. It is said, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshas Tanuta Dhamma Vrindaranam, that our two objects of meditation are Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, as well as Vrindavan. Vrindavan means a place where everyone is engaged in trying to serve and please Krishna. So anywhere where the mood is transcendental service, loving service to Krishna, that is Vrindavan. And specifically that land in Goloka Vrindavan, where everyone there has no other business, only to please Krishna, that is the object of our meditation. Ramna kinchit rajavadu vargena va kalpitaha. And those persons who show that transcendental surrender and love and meditation to the highest degree were the gopis. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan. And there can be the best evidence or the best method of coming to this platform is to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam specifically gives us a step-by-step process by which we can become completely engaged and absorbed in Krishna's loving service. Prema Pumartha Mahan. And the goal is prema, the spontaneously ever-deepening loving feelings towards Krishna and following the moods of the residents of Vrindavan. So the six Goswamis, Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati. Mandalapati means that they were not ordinary persons in the material world who had nothing else to do but join Lord Chaitanya's movement because they were handing out free prasad. That's not why the six Goswamis joined the movement, because they figured it was easier than working from 9 to 5 for the Qazi. No, they were great personalities from the, even Raghunath Das Goswami, his father was earning 1,200,000 gold coins annually, I guess. But that was, Prabhupada said, as many millions of times, or thousands of times, what it was then. They were supporting the entire Brahminical community in practically West Bengal. They were so wealthy. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was an inheritor of such an opulent position. His wife was just like the goddess of fortune. He had unlimited servants. He had unlimited wealth. But he gave it up as tuchava, as something insignificant. That cannot be given up artificially. Prahlad Maharaj said, Yan mai tunadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. That material life of sense gratification, which means pungsa striya maituni bhavang etan tara ridya grantim ahu ato griha shetra sudatti vitara janasya moho yang ahangmeti. So our attachment to the imitation Radha and Krishna pastimes of this material world is quite deep. And as this imitation expands, it manifests itself as a house, wealth, bank balance, family, relatives, so many different things it manifests, so that one becomes more and more absorbed in materialistic conceptions of life. Janasya moho yang ahang mameti. That this is my body, and these things in relation to my body, this is reality. But for the Goswamis, tuchavat, it became insignificant. Although they had something beyond our wildest dreams. I heard one time there was a devotee in Los Angeles, and this in the 70s, and he inherited $25 million. He didn't give a cent to Krishna. He immediately left to get his $25 million and sent back his dhoti, all his books and beads and everything. That's what he donated back to Krishna. That he put his dollar and quarter in the box and he got the jackpot. He got what he wanted. So in this material world, generally people are very much attached to these things, and they don't consider them very insignificant. Actually, most people consider devotional service insignificant and materialistic life very, very important. Materialistic life very, very important and significant. But the six Goswamis, they gave it up as tuchavat, as most insignificant, although they had it, this opulence, to an unlimited degree. Just like Bharat Maharaj, he was the emperor of the entire world. He had a beautiful wife and so many children. He was very popular amongst the citizens. He had so much power and opulence, and he gave it up. And he went to the forest. Unfortunately, he met someone else there. But that was only temporary. Just like imagine reading in the newspaper that President Clinton joined the Hare Krishna movement. Shaved his head. It would be, well, say he retired later on. People would be quite surprised. Similarly, people at that particular time to hear, because there was probably no newspaper, that Bharat Maharaj, he went into the forest and now he's just chanting Hare Krishna. People would be quite surprised. Even Sanatana Goswami, when he wanted to retire from his government service. He was the chief, he was organizing the whole government for Hussein Shah, Nawab Hussein Shah. And immediately the other Kayastas, they began to compete amongst themselves who would be doing his service the most diligently, because they all wanted his service. Something that he rejected as Tuchavat, as insignificant, everyone else was very anxious for. And the six Goswamis, they put on loincloths. Just like Sanatana Goswami, after leaving the government service, or not exactly leaving, the Nawab came, he had heard that Sanatana Goswami, he is now sick. But the Nawab had plans to go to Orissa and conquer the princes there, so he wanted Sanatana Goswami to come along with him, or at least to take care of the government. So he went there, and he came in, and Sanatana Goswami was not in bed taking medicine. He was in a room here with all the Brahmins, and they were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, not the Nawab's favorite book. So Sanatana Goswami didn't tell him to sit down and, you know, listen to class. So Nawab was quite disturbed. He said that you should come along with me and forget all this useless activity of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But Sanatana Goswami said no. He said, you're my elder brother. You should go out. You want to kill all these living entities, but I'm not really interested. So Nawab had him arrested, put into jail. Suddenly he was from the head of the whole state, and he was simply in jail. And jail at that time was not an air-conditioned, you know, with your own television set and swimming pool outside. It's probably more closer to what jail is in India right now. They put a ball and chain on your foot, and prasadam was not exactly homemade. So Sanatana Goswami accepted the position, but Rupa Goswami, who had also retired, sent him, I guess, at least 10,000 gold coins to get free, along with the note, get free. So Sanatana Goswami went to the jail keeper and bribed him. Prabhupada used the word, sometimes he used the word blackmail. He actually used black market, sometimes he used different... because generally people, devotees, are not supposed to engage in these things. But Sanatana Goswami, in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he bribed the jail keeper, and he even lied to him. He said, my dear jail keeper, he said, as you're a very learned person, jail keepers were not supposed to be very learned persons, but as you're a great scholar, you know, as it says in the Quran, verse number 362, that that anyone who frees a person from material existence or from jail, he goes back to Muhammad or Allah. So the jail keeper said, yes, of course I'm a learned person. Of course I know that verse. I can even quote the Arabic if you want. The Arabic. So he said, yes, I'd like to free you, but... and after all, you're giving me 3,000 gold coins. It seems like a pretty good deal. But I'm afraid of the Nawab. But then Sanatana Goswami stacked up another 7,000 gold coins, and the fear of the Nawab gradually decreased. And Sanatana Goswami, he said, just tell the Nawab that Sanatana Goswami, he went to pass stool, and he flung himself into the ocean, got washed away. And that's the end of Sanatana Goswami. So the jailkeeper was convinced. He had his alibi. He had his gold coins. He freed Sanatana Goswami, who now was wandering without any means. And he comes with his servant Ishan. And they come upon a hotel. And immediately the hotel keeper greets him very nicely and offers him a nice room And he gives him grains to cook, tells him to go take a, you know, where he can bathe, treats him very respectfully. Sanatana Goswami is thinking, this is not a temple. This is a hotel. And this is not exactly the most kind-looking hotel keeper. So there must be something to it. There's a catch to all this. So he asks his servant, you must have something with you. So his servant Ishan said, yes, I brought 7 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami said, why have you brought this death knell upon us? So immediately he went to the hotel keeper and offered the 7 gold coins to the hotel keeper, who had found out from his pamas. I don't know, maybe he's, when people signed into the hotel, the pamas was looking at everyone's hand. He saw that he had 8 gold coins. Probably if the pamas was still alive, he'd get a lot of business. But he was quite expert. Just by looking at Sanatana Goswami's palm, he could tell that he was traveling with 8 gold coins, or maybe Ishan's palm, I don't know. And immediately he handed him the 7 gold coins, and the hotel keeper said, thank you very much for giving me the gold coins, but you can keep them. I was going to kill you for them, but since you've given them to me, you might as well take them back. He said, no, you keep them, because if you don't kill me for them, someone else will kill me for them. So the hotel keeper said, I know you had 8 gold coins, but, you know, it's all right, no problem. Keep a coin. So then Sanatana Goswami, he was given some help, assistance by the hotel keeper, some people to help him across the hilly tract of land at night with torches. They came to the other side, and Sanatana Goswami told his servant, I think, Ishan, you have 1 more gold coin. So Ishan said, yes. So Sanatana Goswami, he said, you take the gold coin and go home. So finally, Sanatana Goswami, he comes, and his brother-in-law, Srikanta, is buying horses for the emperor and distributing them to the emperor. So he sees his brother-in-law, he's in an old torn quilt and he hasn't eaten, so he gives him all the facilities, and then finally he gives him a nice blanket. So Sanatana Goswami, he has long hair, unshaven, he suddenly has everything about him is shabby except for his torn blanket. And as we know, later he meets Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya greets him very ecstatically. They embrace each other in ecstasy, and he shaves his head, his beard, and he has his nice blanket. So Lord Chaitanya is always glancing at his blanket. So Sanatana Goswami figures Lord Chaitanya doesn't need a blanket. That's not why he's glancing at it. He figures probably he doesn't appreciate that here I am, I'm doing madhukari, I'm going door to door begging for a little food from each householder, and I'm going with a nice blanket. So he goes to the river and he finds one person scrubbing his own old torn quilt at the river, and he said, I'll trade you. I'll tell you what, I got a deal you can't refuse. Here, I'll give you this blanket for that quilt. So the man says, what's wrong with you? What's happening? Are you intoxicated? Well, this must be some trick. So he said, no, I'm not kidding you. It's not a trick. You know. So he trades him, and then he comes back with his torn quilt. And Lord Chaitanya is in ecstasy seeing his torn quilt. Not that Lord... Sanatana Goswami comes back with a Rolex, and Lord Chaitanya says, not bad. Yeah. Coming up in the world, kid. Because you're chanting good rounds. No, he comes back with a torn quilt, and Lord Chaitanya is actually feeling happiness. That he said, actually, you're taking the role of a renunciate, and you're going around with a beautiful blanket, people are just laughing at you. So it is not that that Sanatana Goswami had become a loser. Gopi Bhava Samrita Dilahari Kolo Lamogna Moho. That what they got in exchange, that instead of concentrating on their kingdoms and opulence, they had the ability, they were given, they were empowered to develop the mood of the gopis in Vrindavan, always feeling transcendent loving separation from Krishna. And that mood, they were feeling the waves of ecstatic emotions of the gopis and Krishna's loving exchange with them in Vrindavan. And they became so overwhelmed with that transcendental ocean of happiness, they forgot everything else. Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Nativi Kolola Sanikrito Nidrahara Vihara Kari Vidrito Chatyantya Dina Chayo Radha Krishna Gunasmritermi Madhurima Nandena Samohito Bande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalago. So the six Goswamis, they gave up their materialistic activities, even eating and sleeping. And how did they do it? It wasn't that they were forced to do it, but they gave it up because they were so much absorbed in chanting their rounds and doing their activities in a very regulated way that they were able to come to the perfection level of Krishna consciousness and always feel transcendental separation, remembering the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, the loving exchanges between them. So this is the actual remedial measure for the conditioned souls. That means us. What is that remedial measure? The remedial measure is Sadama Vipra was, actually at this time, Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Pariksha Maharaj about the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. And Pariksha Maharaj said, hearing these pastimes is ever becoming more sweet, more and more sweeter. You've told me so far about Krishna's creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, and about how love of Godhead and liberation can be achieved simultaneously. But I wish to hear about other pastimes which we may not have explained so far. That the conditioned souls within this material world, their hearts are always being pierced by the material desires of sense gratification. Such desires are always afflicting the conditioned souls. But I'm actually experiencing how by simply hearing these transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna, one can always be steeped in transcendental happiness and not be bothered by material desires. So I think that this is the actual remedial measure. Simply by hearing these transcendental pastimes, one can become more and more absorbed in transcendental pleasure and become completely free from all material miseries. So this is the benefit of coming to the platform of Krishna consciousness. That all our material problems and anxieties can be mitigated, and one can in turn come to another platform of existence where there's nothing but ever-increasing transcendental happiness. And one's ability to relish that happiness is also ever-increasing. So Lord Chaitanya is demonstrating this in his transcendental pastimes, and he also demonstrates here that the most practical method of coming to this platform, the congregational chanting of Lord Krishna's name. So if we simply learn, study the process of chanting Hare Krishna within the right mood, in the right consciousness, then one can get all the benefits, even to the point that even what we find very near and dear to us, namely eating and sleeping, even those things can be gradually forgotten about. Not that we'll be chanting, we're thinking, oh, I'm supposed to be enjoying this, but I'm so hungry. Now, in the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of these remembrance, just like Raghunath Das Goswami, it is said that he was eating one pad of buttermilk, a little pad of buttermilk, every other day. So that sounds quite extreme. His body was sometimes shaking out of trembling due to the fact that he was eating so little. Like Sudama was also in that position. But he was not actually living in the material world. It is said that in Goloka Vrindavan, where he was actually living, he was eating three big feasts a day, cooked by Radharani and the gopis. So he wasn't thinking, when is it time for prasad? This is too much. No, he was actually completely satisfied. He was thinking, I better fast. Radharani's cooking is just too good. I'm gaining weight even in this spiritual world. And he's completely absorbed there. So we can also come to that platform through this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Lord Chaitanya, he was so much absorbed in that ecstasy that everywhere he saw was Vrindavan. Just like Prabhupada once told one Gurukul student, as I'd mentioned before, he sent some of the mathematical work that he was doing, and Prabhupada said, I'm very glad that you're learning mathematics, that 2 plus 3 is equal to 5, and 1 plus 4 is equal to 5. So we can also come to that platform through this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Lord Chaitanya, he was so much absorbed in that ecstasy that everywhere he saw was Vrindavan. Just like Prabhupada once told one Gurukul student, as I'd mentioned before, he sent some of the mathematical work that he was doing, and Prabhupada said, I'm very glad that you're learning mathematics, that 2 plus 3 is equal to 5, and 1 plus 4 is equal to 5. But I have another mathematics, that Krishna plus anywhere is equal to Vrindavan. So if you always remember Krishna, then you'll always be in Vrindavan. So I hope they're also teaching you this mathematics. So that's the real math that we should learn, how to always remain in Krishna consciousness. And if we come to the platform where we mistake the Ganges for the Jamuna, although people may criticize us that we're making so many mistakes, but that's not a bad mistake to make. Similarly, if we come to the platform where we're always happy, then that's also good. Sukham, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. That is the benefit of becoming Krishna conscious. Kaivalya Narakayate, Tridasha Akashapura Pushpayate, Dordentendriya Kala Sarpa Patali, Prokata Damstrayate, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, Vidhi Mahendridish Chakitayate, Yakkaruna Kataksha Vaibhavatam, Goram Tam Stumaha. That the idea of becoming liberated from material miseries and merging into Brahman seems like hell. The idea of enjoying the heavenly planets seems like phantasmagoria. The idea of controlling the senses and becoming powerful in the material world seems just like a waste of time. And everywhere is happiness. Everywhere the devotee sees Krishna's plan is being perfectly manifested to help everyone become Krishna conscious. And he sees everyone equally Krishna's servant, whether it's Brahma or the insignificant ant. They're all engaged in Krishna's service. And therefore, this can all be achieved by the merciful Sai Long Glass of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That if we can chant Hare Krishna in the loving, enthusiastic way, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated along with his devotees, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become pleased. And if we just get pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a little bit, and he glances a little bit upon us, then the result is that all these wonderful things can be achieved. And this will solve all our problems, all our real problems. It's not that everyone may appreciate it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always in ecstasy, always chanting Hare Krishna, and yet even the Hindus, they didn't become appreciative of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. somebody, the Kazi, the Hindus, the sannyasis there, not everyone appreciated him. The Buddhists, they made plans to defend, so many different things. They offered him untouchable things for prasad. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never disturbed because he was actually not of this material world. So we can't expect that even if we become fully Krishna conscious, that everyone will appreciate it. If we want everyone to appreciate us, then it's not possible in this material world. There's no one in this material world who appreciates everyone. If you want a place where everyone appreciates everyone, you have to go to the spiritual world. This world, no one appreciates anyone except for themselves. So there's no question of becoming actually popular in this material world in the real sense. The only real popularity can be achieved in the spiritual world. And here, the devotees, just like one time Prabhupada was at an airport, and the reporter said, your people look very different. You know, why do they seem so different? With this, you know, chanting and the strange dress. And Prabhupada said, they have to be different because they're spiritual. They can't be like you. If they were like you, you know, they wouldn't be, you know, they have to be different. So we have to be different, not different we have to be different in the real sense. We have to be ideal persons. Just like in the American dollar, it says, in God we trust. Actually, they don't trust in God. They trust in this paper dollar bill. It says it trusts in God. But the ideal is there. That the ideal of trusting in God is there. So that's very nice. Prabhupada really appreciated that. We trust in God. So that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness, to trust in God and to develop all the nice godly qualities that people imagine that they have, that they appreciate. There are 26 qualities of a devotee, beginning with a devotee is truthful, doesn't quarrel with anyone, he's fixed in the absolute truth, he's clean, he's etc. So the devotee should develop all these nice qualities, and some people will appreciate these nice qualities, some people won't. They'll become more envious. One time Prabhupada was talking to one devotee and said, Prabhupada, everyone is criticizing me. And Prabhupada said, well, they even criticized Lord Chaitanya. So the devotee said, well, you don't seem to understand. I mean, I'm doing so many things wrong and everyone's criticizing. Prabhupada said, no, they even criticized Lord Chaitanya. What to speak of insignificant personalities like ourselves? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's chanting, he's in ecstasy, he's seeing everything in relation to Krishna, and he's not even taking prasad. So, for the materialist, this is abominable. He's starving himself to death. He's become crazy. And he's just going around like a madman, dancing and chanting. Probably nowadays they lock him up and put him away. But, we should appreciate that this is the actual perfection of life, simple living. This is how it's possible to come to the platform of simple living. Simply living in Krishna, then it's possible to live simply in the material world. If one is simply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then it's possible to become simpler in every other way in this material existence. And if one is not in Krishna consciousness, then the material energy will oblige one to become very complicated. Although one may externally seem very simple, but due to the nature of the material world, gradually he'll become more and more complicated. And if one is trying to become factually Krishna conscious, then everything becomes simple. Parama Karuna Pahudvijana Nityai Gorachandra Sabhavatar Sarashiramani Kevala Anandakanda. Now these two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they're showing us a very simple process. They're the essence of all the incarnations. Matsya, Korma, Varaha, Narsingadev. What do they all come for? Not just to rip apart demons and get their back scratched. The whole idea of their coming is that they came to show us how to develop this unalloyed feelings of love for Krishna. So if we can take advantage of that process and appreciate it, chant Hare Krishna, tried it with love and conviction, then the result is that all the benefits of Krishna consciousness will be bestowed upon us. We just have to be willing to not be so attached to our material conceptions. So, thank you very much. Are there any comments? Yes. After 3 days, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Advaita Acharya at Shantipur and accepted alms there. This was his first acceptance of alms, and night he performed congregational chanting there.
3 days? Where does it come from?
The 3 days? Well, he had just taken sannyas.
No, but I mean, it's not really in the first day. I just wonder where it came.
Let's look at the previous verse. Prema te te vilabhaya nakila smara radade shatina. So in the previous verse, when proceeding towards Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstatic love for Krishna. He lost all remembrance of the external world. In this way he traveled continuously for 3 days in Radadesh, the country where the Ganges waters now flow. So Tina Dina is 3 days. So it's referring back to another verse. Yes.
I want to make a comment. Since you spoke about Brahma, how he gave up everything, just a little comment. He was 10 million years old at that time. And I find it very funny that there is this verse in the fifth canto where it says that in the prime of youth, he gave up everything.
Yes, for Lord Brahma, if he was 10 million years old, it was like...
Yeah, it's still kind of young.
Yeah, it's kind of... Because he was young, you're only as young, old as you feel. So here's a good example of that. He's only 10 million years old, but he was quite physically fit. He was just like a youth. Now, at the end of Kali Yuga, it is said that the ladies will give birth to children when they're 5 years old. And when you're 10 years old, you'll be considered a ripe old man. So, you know, these things are, time is relative. So for him, it was just like, you know, it was the beginning of his life, 10 million years. Thank you very much. Grantara Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kijai. Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Gaur Premanande.